On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Darcher-Kent. Glad you could be here. You have aligned to Republican Representative Cindy Duco of Delafield. Here's a bit of roadmap. We'll discuss legislation expanding a sales tax exemption on renewable energy products, a proposal for tuition and fee refunds for unvaccinated UW System and Technical College students who are barred from a program due to their status. And we start with the bail system and a push for a constitutional amendment allowing judges more latitude to set bail for people with criminal histories. Have you ever had to post bail for yourself or a loved one? What was that like? What alternatives are there for cash bail? Do you agree with Republican lawmakers pushing for tougher bail policies in the wake of the Waukesha parade tragedy? 800-642-1234. Representative Cindy Duco is Majority Caucus Vice Chair, sits on the Assembly Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety. Representative Duco, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. So concerns arose after the bail set for the suspect in the Waukesha parade attack. Daryl Brooks was considered ridiculously low due to Brooks's history. But as we've learned, setting reasonable bail is really tricky. We've learned in past conversation there isn't a clear formula, not a perfect solution. You want to change the Constitution. What would this effectively do?
Well, actually, I wanted to change the Constitution before this. I had an incident in my own neighborhood where there was a gentleman that molested his grandchildren, and he was out on bail for 3 or 4 months while they worked out a plea deal. And I had called the assistant district attorney in Waukesha and asked why this was, and he said, well, it's because of the Constitution. We're not allowed to look at their past criminal history and take certain other accounts into effect. So that's what started me down this path in 2017. And I wasn't able to get it across the finish line then. So the Waukesha incident really shone a spotlight on it and it kind of brought it to everyone's attention. And when you're looking at setting bail right now in the state of Wisconsin, the driving factor is whether or not that person will return to court. What I want to do is let the judge look back at your criminal history, what you've done, and take the safety of the community into effect, which would have prevented, in my opinion, hopefully, the gentleman Brooks, who was out, who murdered the people in Waukesha, from being out on bail. Now, that does not help with extremely liberal judges who just think everyone should be out and they're going to find an excuse for that, but it would let us hold their feet to the fire and say to them, didn't you go back and look and see what this man had done in the past? And if looking at that, you thought this was reasonable to let him out, it would hold them more accountable.
But in the scenario, you know, every defendant is presumed innocent until proven guilty. Even if you set bail at $100 and they're acquitted, they may not be able to post bail, post that $100, and they'll sit in the jail cell for days, maybe weeks. No one is paying them back for that time that their lives were derailed. What are you for or opposed to a cash bail system?
I am not for getting rid of the bail system that we have. And yes, everyone is presumed innocent, and I firmly believe that. But when you can go back and look at someone's past criminal history, I mean, this man tried to run over somebody with a car. Now, do you really think that that person should be out on the street? I mean, he had a rap sheet that took the DA in Waukesha County 10 minutes to read. This was not just a one-time offense. So, yes, if you commit a crime and you have no past criminal history, yes, we should let you out on bail. I'm all for that, you know, considering what the crime is. But if you've got a criminal history like this gentleman Brooks has, no, he had been in and out of the system his entire life. He should have been locked up years ago. So in that case, no, he should not be getting bail and shouldn't be let out.
We're talking with Cindy Duco, representative for the 99th Assembly District, includes parts of Waukesha County, as we discuss some of the legislation she's backing at the Capitol. Should bail reform be enacted? How should judges set bail? What do you think of a constitutional amendment giving judges more latitude to a person's history and criminal activity? 800-642-1234. Proponents of bail reform, they argue that bail is often used to keep suspects trapped in jail before trial. Nate Gilliam, we talked with, is with the Milwaukee Freedom Fund, and he said last month that bail often disproportionately affects poor people and communities of color.
But then we don't have the same amount of wealth as most other communities to be able to support each other. So again, like not only the individual, people's families, people's communities are coming together, scraping together whatever they have to bail somebody out of jail. And that causes incredible ripple effects within communities.
Could this proposed amendment contribute to that problem?
I don't think so. First of all, let's start worrying about the victims and not so much about the criminals. We have the highest murder rate ever in the city of Milwaukee. 204 people were murdered. Out of those 204 people that were murdered, 20% of them are out on bail for a violent crime. So the pendulum has swung so far to protecting the rights of the criminal, we're not protecting the citizens of our state. We need to make sure our citizens are safe. If you've got 20% of the people out on violent crime charges killing people, we would have saved, 40 more lives had those people not been out on bail. And at the end of the day, when they look at setting bail, they look at what you can afford. So if you are someone who's not very wealthy, they set your bail lower than if you were Bill Gates getting charged with something. They're going to set your bail very high. Judges have that discretion. But we need to start thinking about the victims here and not so much the criminals. The victims have got rights also, and they seem to be pushed in the back of the bus right now.
Attorney General Josh Collis said that he'd prefer that you revise the pretrial system to something that more closely looks like the federal detention hearing. So the defendant requests bail, and the detention hearing is used to determine what to do with the defendant. One option could be to be in jail. What do you think of those suggestions?
The problem with a pretrial detention hearing is basically a mini hearing before you have your hearing. So that would take an awful lot more manpower, a lot more resources, more judges, more courts. The system we have right now is not used because it is a mini hearing, and we don't have that. In Milwaukee, they're actually 3 years behind in their court cases because they never reopened after COVID. Hmm. Now, we've always been a little bit behind in most of our counties. Waukesha is running about 2 years behind, but Milwaukee chose to open up full-time about a month ago. So they are drastically behind the eight ball, and that was their choice not to open their courtrooms. They managed to open the Bucks Arena and have the NBA playoffs and a parade for 100,000 people, but they couldn't get their courts open and get people through the justice system. So there's a problem with that, and that's a problem that they own. And I'm not about to make exceptions because Milwaukee couldn't get their job done.
Explain the roadmap here to change the Constitution regarding the right to bail. Two consecutive legislatures would have to approve the amendment before it would go to the ballot. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So my goal is to get it through the legislature this session, and then we come back next year in 23 and pass it right away in January. And so we'd have it on the ballot of April of 23. That's the goal.
You were among a group of lawmakers calling for Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm to be removed from his office last month. Do you still believe he should step down?
Yes, I do. When you look at the murder rate in Milwaukee, crime has done nothing but go up. Their homicide clearance rate used to be about 60-70%. We're now down to 40. And when you say 20% of all of these murders were committed by people who are already out on bail for a violent offense, John Chisholm himself has said his political agenda was to let everybody out. He feels his people are unserved and unjustly charged. He has said that himself. So I don't think what he's doing is right for our community. And again, I want to start looking at the victims, not the criminals.
Let's take a call now. Philip is joining us from Highland. Hi, Philip. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm all for you turn around doing a criminal back check on the criminals, but I'd also like you to do a check on the officers that are arresting these people. We have officers that get shipped from one county to another, one place to another, and they've committed all kinds of atrocities against the people and against the public and stuff like that. So if you're going to do that to the criminals, you should also do it to the officers, because there's a lot of police out here that are bad and make it a bad name for the good police. And you got to do it one side, you got to do it to the other. That's all I've got to say.
Thank you, Philip. Representative Duco.
I totally agree with him. First of all, we have the least amount of law enforcement officers in the state in over a decade. So people do not want to be work for the police. We just can't get police officers. At one point, they'd have a couple hundred people applying for a job. Now they maybe have four or five. I am all for background checking our police officers, and our police officers want that also. You know, they don't want a bad apple in the group. You know, the vast majority of our police officers are great people who work diligently and do jobs none of us want to do. And we had legislation out last session. I'm not sure if it got through. That says if you're going from one community, if you have a problem in one county, you cannot transfer to another county, and it would stop that from happening. But I am all in favor of background checking our police officers, and they want that more than anybody else does.
Republican Representative Cindy Duco of Delafield is here. What do you want lawmakers to understand and act on at this point in the pandemic? What things do you want our state lawmakers to prioritize in 2022? What questions do you have? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. State lawmakers are looking at unvaccinated college students at the UW. Should they be entitled to a tuition refund if they're barred from a program due to their status? Join in 800-642-1234. We've been talking about the cash bail system with Representative Cindy Duco of Delafield, who's with us for about nine more minutes. Let's bring in Marcus now in Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus. Go ahead.
Hi, ma'am. I don't believe that you actually believe people are innocent until proven guilty. You keep stating these criminals. If somebody has committed a crime and served their time and completed their sentence, technically they're square with the house. And throwing people in jail and holding them in jail goes against what the founding fathers set up with the laws of this country, because we rebelled against the British because they had debtors' prisons and they were throwing people in jail simply because they were poor.
Marcus, thank you. Representative Duco.
Well, first of all, I do believe people are innocent until proven guilty. Thanks for calling, Marcus. And what my constitutional amendment does, it lets you go back and look at their past criminal history. So if you don't have a past criminal history, yeah, you know what? We're going to set a reasonable bail. You're going to get out. You're going to go on with your life. You're going to go to court and get your day in court. But and look at the gentleman Brooks, who murdered six people in Waukesha. His rap sheet was 10 pages long. He had a criminal history that was pretty obvious. This man was violent. He had just a week earlier tried to run over the mother of his child with his car. So those type of people are the ones I'm talking about that should not be let out, you know, should not be let out on any sort of bail, and certainly not $1,000 bail. So I'm trying to protect the violent people off the streets. No, if you're shoplifting, no, you should be out on bail. You should be back at work, and you should come to court. We'll figure how you're going to pay your debt for what you did, and we'll straighten that out. But if you're violent and you've been repeatedly violent, we need to take that into account when setting your bail.
Let's move on to a new topic, paragraph return here, if you will. You co-authored a bill that would refund tuition to students at the UW or technical colleges that require a COVID vaccine or bar students from participating in a program because of their unvaccinated status. Can you tell us a little bit more about this proposal?
Well, I just don't think because you chose not to get vaccinated, you should not be able to go to class. Whether or not you get vaccinated is a personal choice. I am not for vaccine mandates. So, and right now, if you look at the statistics, people who are vaccinated and boosted are still getting COVID. So by barring vaccinated people isn't solving any problem, because you could be vaccinated and boosted and you could go to class and you could have COVID and transfer it anyway. So I think the vaccine mandate is not a fair thing to do. And if people don't choose to get vaccinated, and especially our college kids, they're the ones who are the least likely to be sick. I mean, you know, my son had it. He basically had a little bit of a cold. So what we're finding through science is that people that need to be vaccinated and need to be worrying about are people who are older and have comorbidities. The rest of us, this is here to stay. We need to start just going on with our normal lives.
Over 95% of the UW is vaccinated. Thousands of the UW have received their boosters. Why do you think this legislation is needed?
Because there are 5% that have not. And if people chose not to get vaccinated, that is their choice. And again, college-age kids, they're not the ones who are in the hospital. They're not the ones that are dying. If you look at the statistics, is it 80% of the people who passed away from COVID were over 65? So I don't think there's a lot of 65-year-olds attending our universities.
How do you see, then, the potential Supreme Court ruling on federal vaccine requirements affecting this proposed legislation?
You know, I don't know how the Supreme Court's going to rule. I think that they are going to rule that we cannot mandate vaccines for everyday businesses. I'm not sure how they're going to feel about medical workers. And I can't guess on what the Supreme Court's going to do. I just know that I feel that our UW students have the right not to be vaccinated, and they have the right to attend class.
Was there a personal? Did you receive information from your constituents that they have gone through this, that they've been barred, or has a situation come up? Where did you hear something?
I heard a lot from my constituents that they did not want to make their UW students get vaccinated. And a lot of them ended up doing it because it was really kind of a hassle not to be. But they were not happy about it. And they felt that their 20-somethings that were off at the UW system, and I heard actually from a lot of UW students also, that they just didn't need to be vaccinated. And looking at science, they were right. They don't need to be vaccinated. Natural immunity is better than the vaccine.
Wait, you're saying that you shouldn't be vaccinated, that you're better off without the COVID vaccine? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think that's your personal choice. If you want to get vaccinated, get vaccinated. If you are perfectly healthy and you're 20-something years old and you say, I don't want to get vaccinated, I'd rather just wait till I get it, have my natural immunity, that's your choice also. And I'm not going to force kids to go out and get a vaccine.
We're talking with Cindy Duco, who is a representative for the 99th Assembly District, looking at legislation that she's backing. You can join in, 800-642-1234. I want to look at legislation that would expand the types of properties that would fall under sales and use tax exemptions for renewable energy properties. What do you hope this bill will do?
Actually, Senator Coles and I are working on this bill together, and it's a great bill. So right now, solar panels are tax exempt. What's not tax exempt is the batteries that you could use to store this in, because the batteries weren't quite technically up there when they did the solar panels. So this would make things as small as Generac is making a battery for your home. So if you had a solar panel on your roof, you could store your solar energy in that battery. This also would be for utility work. So the giant solar fields that you see would have a battery like the size of a trailer truck that you could then store this energy in. So this would actually save the taxpayers money because they would not be paying, and those big utility ones, those go back to your regular tax, your utility bill, and it would also help people who want to have more green energy.
Something we've heard on our program is a call for more rebate programs, more robust energy rebates for households that do adopt solar energy, for instance. Where do you stand on fiscal policies that align with environmental sustainability and create tax incentives for using clean energy?
Well, this would be a tax incentive because you could buy the battery from Generac and you would not have to pay the sales tax on it. And then because if you do have the solar panels on your roof, you are creating your own energy, which you can sell them back to the grid.
Mm.
So this is a way that could save you money and be a little bit greener.
Let us circle back to COVID for a moment and take a call. Becky joining us from Hustisford. Becky, hi.
Hi there, and thank you so much for taking my call. I just had a question for your guest, and I don't want this to sound hostile, but I would like her to think about this. I am all for free choice, as she is discussing, but is she also then an advocate of our healthcare professionals having the right to refuse treatment to those who have chosen not to get vaccinated? Because right now, the most finite supply that we have is healthcare professionals, and they're not available to take care of those people who have heart attacks, strokes, or in car accidents or fires when they're taking care of COVID patients who chose to expose themselves to the most hazardous level of COVID rather than getting vaccinated and having a mild case that they could stay at home with. Thank you.
Representative Duco.
Well, first of all, our healthcare workers take an oath. And they take an oath and pledge that they are going to help everybody. And that's what you choose when you go into the healthcare. And whether or not someone got vaccinated, they are still, if they're sick, they're sick, and our healthcare workers are going to take care of them. But right now, we have people sitting in the hospital who have gotten their shots and their booster, and they're sick with COVID. But we're not.
But we've learned the vast majority of those hospital beds are occupied by unvaccinated people, and the people, those who have breakthrough infections, we've read about that they've been 1 or 2 day hospital stays, but not very long hospital stays.
And they made a choice not to get vaccinated. People make a choice to smoke. So do we not take care of them if they have lung cancer? People make a choice maybe not to work out and eat real well, and now they're a little overweight and they have a heart problem. Do we not take care of them? There's all sorts of free choices out there. How do you decide what is the right and the wrong thing to do here? I'm not a smoker, and I try to take pretty good care of myself. So if you happen to be a smoker and you're...
And Representative Duco, we're out of time. News update is next on the Ideas Network.